sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news with my little world, with interesting stories from the rest of the world. I'm your host, Diggy, and as usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I answer questions from all of you. This week's question is from James. James says, you mentioned your perfect Christmas dinner. What is your idea of a perfect English breakfast? Well, let's start by saying no eggs. I think that is goes without saying, really. There will be no eggs on my perfect English breakfast. Everything else is fine. Generally, if I'm at a place where I could choose what I'm going to have, I would probably choose, let's start with the bacon and sausage. So I would have bacon and sausage. Generally, two rashers of bacon, maybe one or two sausage, depending on how hungry I'm feeling. I've learned over the years that if I overindulge, so one time a day, I would be tempted to say three bacon, three sausage or more, and I wouldn't eat them. So I've learned that if I'm just, you know, it's a normal day, two bacon, one sausage, it's enough for me. Then I follow up with a couple of hash browns, black pudding, baked beans, mushrooms, and tomatoes. Now, I'm happy with tomatoes, either like a half grilled tomato or like, you know, the skinned tomatoes, like the tinned version of them. I'm okay with them. Fried bread, a piece of fried bread and a piece, maybe two pieces of toast, because I like to make a bacon sandwich out of the toast and a piece of the bacon. And then obviously a cup of coffee. I think that is pretty much what I would always have on a full English breakfast. Feel free to send me suggestions of things I might not have considered. Sometimes I might have avocado, but not that often. It's not something I think I'd choose. I'd rather have that as a separate breakfast. You're like, not as in a second breakfast, so that's always good. As in, if I was having avocado, it would be the only thing. I'd have avocado on toast, you know, that kind of thing. But every now and then, I have had it with a breakfast, like in lieu of the eggs, I suppose. And it's all right. It's pretty good. So that is my perfect English breakfast. If you would like to ask a question to open up the show, you just head to the show notes or you go to thatsafreebie.com and you'll find a link to the feedback form that allows you to ask a question or submit general feedback or even submit a Podtails topic as well. It has been a fairly quiet week for me this last couple of weeks because I've not been particularly well. I've had a bit of a hard time with my chronic urticaria, which I'm going to talk about in depth in the next section. But was Tobias's birthday over the last couple of weeks. So we did celebrate that. That's probably about the most interesting thing that's happened in my life, actually, over the last few weeks. He had a sleepover. Now, that meant that he had seven kids in total sleeping over. There were going to be six, but then he... one of the ones who wasn't going to sleep over, who was just staying for the party, decided that they wanted to sleep over as well. So, yeah, that was fun. It started off really noisy, as you would expect, and it basically turned into a rave. It turns out if you dump a load of glow sticks in the middle of a room, crank the music up, and just and turn the lights off and let the kids go, they will essentially rave. It was great. It was a great little party. One of the things I did notice, though, is the way kids work. It's quite funny. So I noticed when the girl had her sleepover last year, they were very different. They all just sat nice and quietly, gossiped with one another, did each other's hair, all that kind of stuff. You know, they did a little bit of crafts, and it was very civilized and quiet. The boys, on the other hand, they were wild. Like, none of them interacted with one another that much. They basically like split off into several groups, would spend some time in that group, sort of almost realize one of the other groups was there, and then start like play fighting with one another until we had to say, all right, stop now, somebody's going to get hurt. Then they get off one another and forget about one another for a bit, do their own thing, build their own little glow stick thing, wave them about a bit, and then realize that somebody else is there, and then start play fighting with them. It was really strange, very different vibe between what the boys and the girls do. We also had the crazy wins since I last recorded. You know, nothing happened particularly bad for us with the winds. It was just very, very windy. We were very lucky compared to some people. However, one thing that did happen, which was quite exciting for the kids have got, at school, they've got trees surrounding the school, and in those trees are a number of hula hoops, because over the years, some kids thrown a hula hoop in the tree. Like, some of them are really high. I have absolutely no idea how a primary school kid could throw a hula hoop that high. I don't think I could throw it that high. So yeah, anyway, they managed it. So these hula hoops are in the trees. There's three of them in total. Well, now there's only one because the wind blew two of them down. The kids were very excited that these hula hoops came down. They got to school in the morning, they're there on the floor in the playground, and they were like, where are those hula hoops? Oh, no, they're from the trees. Yeah, very, very excited about it. This week for Pod Tales, I decided that I would talk a little bit about my chronic urticaria and angioedema, which is its official name. Chronic urticaria is basically hives, and angioedema is a swelling. I will go through it in more detail. I've sort of written this all up because I think it would be easier than me trying to just ramble off the top of my head all of the things that I can remember about it. So I've got a little full-on article written up that I will read to you forthwith. So, imagine this. You wake up one morning feeling itchy. Not just a casual itch here and there, itchy, but I need to claw my skin off itchy. You look in the mirror and your skin has blossomed into a field of red, swollen bumps. Welcome to the world of hives, which is also known as chronic urticaria. Now, imagine that same itchy nightmare, but with the added bonus of random parts of your body swelling to sometimes pretty comical proportions. Your lips suddenly look like you had a botched filler job, or your hands have swollen up like balloons. That's angioedema, hives' big bad cousin. Hives, or urticaria, is a condition that causes red, raised, and intensely itchy welts to appear on the skin. These bumps can be the size of a pinprick or merge together into large, map-like patches of irritation. They often last a few hours to a few days, but if they stick around for longer than 6 weeks, congratulations, you have what doctors called chronic urticaria. For some people, hives come and go unpredictably for months or even years. This isn't just an inconvenience, it's an exhausting, frustrating ordeal that can seriously interfere with sleep, work, and, believe me on this one, general sanity. The itching alone is enough to drive anyone up the wall, but add in swelling, burning, and the fact that the cause is often completely unknown, you've got yourself a perfect recipe for misery. Triggers? Yep, it can be anything. Food, stress, medication, infections, changes in temperature, even vibration. Yes, some people get hives just from rubbing against something too hard. In about half the cases, doctors have no clue what causes it. And then there's angioedema. Angioedema is similar to hives, but operates on a deeper, more dramatic level. Instead of affecting just the surface of the skin, it causes deep swelling beneath it. It most commonly strikes your face, lips, eyelids, hands, feet, and, for an extra thrill, the throat. That last one is particularly dangerous because if your airways swell shut, breathing becomes difficult and a hospital visit is immediately required. Unlike hives, angioedema doesn't always hit itch, but don't think that makes it any less unpleasant. The swelling can be painful, tight, and tender, and it can last longer than a hive breakout, sometimes for days. If your hands swell up, simple tasks like texting, holding a fork, become a challenge. Swollen feet? Walking turns into a painful shuffle. Swollen eyes? Good luck seeing anything. The next frightening part is that angioedema can strike unpredictably. One minute you're fine, the next you look like a cartoon character who just walked into a beehive. Triggers include medications, especially aspirin and certain blood pressure medications, food allergies, stress, and sometimes just because life isn't fair. No known cause at all. Life with chronic urticaria and angioedema means constantly wondering when the next flare-up will hit. Many people develop anxiety about social situations. After all, it's hard to explain to co-workers why your face suddenly looks like a pufferfish. The itching, swelling, and discomfort can make it difficult to sleep, concentrate, or even function normally. It's not just a skin problem, it's an all-consuming quality of life problem. And let's not forget the emotional toll. Studies have shown that people with chronic hives often experience depression and anxiety, and really, who could blame them? When your own body is in a constant state of rebellion, it's easy to feel like you're losing control. Doctors typically recommend antihistamines as the first line of defence. Second-generation antihistamines like cetirizine and fexofenadine are preferred because they don't knock you out like their drowsy first-generation cousins. In stubborn cases, steroids or immunosuppressants may be used. For severe angioedema, or cases where the throat is affected, epinephrine, yes, the same stuff we use for severe allergic reactions, may be necessary to prevent a life-threatening situation. And in some cases, an injectable medication called omalizumab can help reduce symptoms over time. The key to managing these conditions is figuring out triggers, which is easier said than done. Some people swear by elimination diets, keeping stress levels low, or even tracking outbreaks in a symptom journal. Others have to learn to live with the unpredictability, armed with a stash of antihistamines and a good sense of humour. The bottom line is, hives and angioedema are more than just skin deep. They disrupt lives, mess with confidence, and can turn something as simple as getting dressed in the morning into an ordeal. The itching, swelling, and unpredictability can be downright maddening. If you suffer from these conditions, you're not alone. There are treatments, and while they may not always be a cure, there is hope. In the meantime, embrace the unpredictability, keep your meds handy, and maybe invest in some loose, comfortable clothing, because when your skin decides to throw a tantrum, you might as well be cozy. Just to follow on a little bit from that, I suffer with pretty much every symptom that I described there. The ones that I have the worst are the, like, I visibly get the hives, but for me, the swelling is the worst one. I tend to get it in my hands and my knees and my ankles more than I get it anywhere else. I do from time to time get it in my face, and I've had about 7 or 8 instances where I've had to be rushed to the hospital because my throat was swelling and I've had to have treatment for that. So it's you know, this is all over the course of the last maybe 10 to 12 years, I think, that I've been suffering from it in total. Yeah, it does go on for quite a while. The swelling is the worst part. The medication is the worst part as well, because what seems to happen for me, I don't know if this happens for other people. It would be interesting to know if anybody else listens to this who suffers from this condition. I find that over time, I start to react to the medication. So I take quite a lot of medication for it. And eventually what happens is the medication starts making it worse. So I have to go like a couple of weeks without it to just completely get it out of my system. And then I start to improve. And then I have to start on the lower doses of the medication again. So it doesn't get rid of it, but it improves it. And then sometimes it just goes away. And I don't get any symptoms whatsoever for about 5 or 6 weeks, and then boom, all of a sudden it's back. So it can be completely unpredictable in that respect. There is a new medication that's been sort of, I suppose, discovered in the form of an injection. But whenever I talk to my doctor about it, they claim it doesn't exist, even though I show them the papers for it that say, you know, this is the research on it. This is everything that's available. This is documentation from other NHS departments saying that they've authorised it for use. My local NHS doesn't authorise it for use yet, so I can't have it. That's the one that was called omalizumab. Omalizumab. Quite hard to say. Apparently, it's really, really good for some people, and others it makes no difference on. So I don't know, because I can't have it. It's also really expensive, which I think is the reason why my local NHS doesn't authorise its usage. But for now, I manage fairly okay with what I'm on. I just have several, I suppose, times throughout the year where it just becomes unmanageable. And I just have to sort of take a week out. And it tends to be okay after that. Like, it's like my body just needs rest because I'm struggling to move about it. So I'm putting so much more pressure on myself that I can't heal, I suppose, is the way of putting it. And that's how it seems to me anyway. This week's pick of the week is the TV show Severance, because it's got to be, right? The greatest TV show, well, maybe not the greatest TV show, but a very good TV show is finally back for its second season. And whilst it's not answering questions that we have about the first season, it's not answering them in a good way by almost creating more questions is the only way I can think of describing it. But not in a weird, like, oh, they're clearly never going to answer anything kind of way. It's a good show. I don't want to say anything about it because it will probably spoil it for you because, well, it's just that kind of show. If you've not watched it, go back and watch season one and then watch season two. Do not watch season two without watching season one because it will, first of all, ruin season one for you and it will also be the most confusing thing in the world for you. To finish off this week, I do have one last story. As you all know, I do have a day job as well as this podcast, and it may come as a surprise to some that are listening, but because I haven't told anybody yet, but I was fired from that day job a few days ago. You know, it's quite hard to talk about it, but I'm going to have to talk about it because people are going to have questions otherwise. Yeah, I used to work in a clock factory and I got fired for putting extra hours in. I'm sorry.